We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, an antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to the program. First of all, a reminder for those of you attempting to join in with these games at home to pull the curtains before you start. While the BBC curtains are being closed, let me introduce the two teams, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden on my left. And Willie Ruston and Tim Brooke Taylor on my right. Well, those of you at home should have started scoring by now, so let's give the teams in the studio a chance to catch up with the first round, which is the one that's called Censored Songs. I'm going to ask each of you to sing a song, and during the song it will be your task to censor by means of a buzzer any words you consider will outrage public decency or frighten the horses. And we're going to start with you, Tim and Willie, and your song is Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
A medley on.
A medley. Right.
Ding dong, ding ding dong, where the steeple bells ever quite so gay. Wonderful, wonderful.
This is your beautiful, wherever you may be. We ain't yet, but I'm willing to bet you're the gal for me. You're just as good as don't know your name, but I'm mistaken. My left arm is crossed. Going, for it sets your senses in a whirl. Going. Tune enough to go and a girl. Always fun to shoot a gun or to a rabbit on the run. And it's twice as sporting going.
Oh, the barnyard is busy in the regular, busy in the obvious reason is because of the season. My nature's lyrical with her yearly miracle.
Right, and with Colin Sell at the piano providing the accompaniment again for you, Barry and Graham, you're going to sing...
It's a selection,
it's a selection from,
from The Wizard of Oz.
We're off to the Wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. We hear he is a of a whiz, if ever a whiz there was. If ever a whiz there was, the Wizard of Oz is one. Because of the wonderful he does.
I could while away the hours conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my I'd be scratching while my fancy hatching if I only had a
some over the rainbow bluebirds. Over the rainbow, why then, oh, why can't I? If happy little bluebirds beyond the rainbow, why, oh, why can't I?
So by the applause of the audience, Graham and Barry slightly ahead on that round. We go on to a round which is... Oh, no, we don't.
Who's in the chair next week?
Who's in the chair this week?
This is...
very
so before we go on to that round, I must tell you, teams, that you must think up late arrivals for the drunkard's ball. And I shall ask you to... announce them later. Relevant. The Drunkard's Ball.
Can we use real names?
I'd never mention you on the program.
Now we actually do go on to the next round, which is called A Right Pair. In this round, one team pretends to be a pair of something.
We've cast them.
Something like Hammer and Tongs or Marshall and Snellgrove.
Oh,
and they give the other team a clue, and they have the other team have 10 questions in which to guess. And our audience here in the studio is being informed of this on a blackboard, and you listening at home will hear our mystery voice.
Stuff and nonsense.
And that describes what Barry and Graham are going to do. Barry and Graham, you're going to start giving your clues right away.
We're abstract. We're very abstract.
Barry, are you the first of the two?
Yes, I am, yes.
Always would be. Knew it would be. Are you mineral?
Could be.
You're very abstract.
Very abstract.
Mineral as you can get for an abstract.
Are you hot or cold?
Hot. Oh, yes. Hot yes. Would be rather opposite. More of a help.
He is hot.
I could be either, but... Hottish.
I think hell and high water. I can't see Graham handling high water.
You have 8 questions left.
Graham, what are you?
I'm...
Worth a try.
Nearly got me. Dodgy moment.
I can't let the question. You have 7 there.
You've got 7 to go.
Luckily, he didn't hear that.
Barry?
Yes.
Well, a derogatory phrase.
I used to be, a long, long time ago, people used to utter this in a pejorative context. Or wherever they happened to be at the time. Not so much nowadays. It wouldn't be regarded as derogatory. Next week I shall be talking about it.
Tim, you've got 6 left.
Graham, are you above or below the waist?
At the moment.
In his case.
I was going to say something, though. No, I can't really do it on radio. In my persona of the abstract word, of course, being above and below the waist is a question of a load of rubbish, really.
Is it an expression we would use about you?
When you hear what it is, yes.
Now, you have 4 questions left.
I don't think we're getting very near this, are we?
Yeah. Go home, man.
Let me tell you that the audience might have applauded Graham's last utterance. Yeah. Graham referred to your last question as a load of rubbish. Work on that line. I think we're going to have to ask
Stop
Barry Graham to tell you.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, what?
Too late.
Humphrey already wound up that round.
Yeah.
I think you've got enough of the bell. Or I'm ahead of the what now? Right, Tim and Willie. Now you have a pair to denote. Now it's been written
Let
up on the board.
Your fingers to the chalking.
And here it is. Here's this pair for you listening at home.
Princess Anne and Mark Phillips.
Now,
we'll
allow you a free question, Barry and Graham, and I'll ask them whether it's abstract or whatever the opposite is.
It's the opposite.
It's the opposite.
The opposite of abstract. Right, where you go, Barry?
Tangible.
Highly.
Can't we have animal, vegetable, or mineral?
Tangible.
Or anything
you can
like
have
that?
Whatever you like, Barry.
But it'll cost 1 mark each.
Oh, well, leave that out.
So they're done.
I got some tips from Anona Wynn. Unsmokable. Now, well, we're off to a racing start here.
A clue.
Is the... who shall I ask?
What? Why did they have that?
Willie. It's a motor racing context.
Motor racing unofficially.
Unofficially motor racing. Is it another sort of racing officially?
No.
You've got 7 questions left.
Racing of a sort.
Don't hurry up.
But it was racing of a sort.
Racing. Don't hurry up. I'll have to dock you time for it.
It's a double to do with horses.
Well, sticking your neck out since you've just had a clap on that already.
They have a multitude of other interests.
Five to go.
I'm a pioneer.
They have a multitude of other interests.
Pet and lock.
A couple to do with horses. Not the names of horses. Parts of horses. Physical parts of horses.
In a strange roundabout way, but not really.
Personally, I've never been round that way. But
neck and cropper. Not physical parts of horses.
No, don't run through the parts of horses, no.
We can tell you that we are people.
You are people? Oh, you are people.
Oh, well done.
Oh.
Three questions left.
No, not Shanks and Pony, no.
Tim, are you a male person?
Yes. Is that a question or just a sort of private?
Private
inquiry. Two questions left.
Can we blow the female person on Willie? I mean, is it...
Do we know it? Ah!
Yes, no need to bother.
One question
left. Princess Anne and Mark Phillips.
Oh, that's sweet.
Good Lord.
Very good, but as Tim and Willie had a clear round, that's right. That's slightly ahead.
That's
now we come to the popular game, and it's getting more and more popular as the weeks go by, Mornington Crescent. And this time, team, pay attention, this time, yellow only counts above the line.
Oh,
right. And we'll start, I think, on the right here with Willie Rushton.
Above the line, sorry, did you say?
Yellow only counts above the line.
Can I perfectly say it with Old Brompton Road?
Humph.
Yellow?
Old Brompton Road?
No.
No.
No?
No.
No way!
Fetter Lane.
Morden.
Pardon?
Morden.
Fleet Street.
Oh. Archway.
Broad Street.
Mornington Crescent.
Oh.
Oh. Walked into that one.
Yes.
Yes. Very nice.
Larry's
to the slaughter.
And
Tim and Willie,
you've done too. I'll let you in there.
Excellent.
Hate to say.
Still, it's a chance to catch up next week. We go on to words of one song to tune of another, which is a rather cryptic way of saying that I want each of you teams to sing the words of one song to the tune of another. The tune will be provided on the piano by Colin Sell. Graham Garden now. Your words are The Lambeth Walk, and your tune is Land of Hope and Glory.
Anytime you're Lambeth way, any evening, any day, you'll find us all doing the Lambeth walk.
All together now!
Every little Lambeth girl with her little Lambeth.
Again.
It's your turn, Tim, now. Your words are leaning on a lamppost.
Speaking of which, can I have 5 minutes?
And the tune is I Am the Very Model of a Modern Major General.
Leaning on a lamp, may you rethink I look a tramp. Oh, you may think I'm hanging round to steal a club. No, I'm not a crook, and if you think that's what I look, I'll tell you why I'm here and what my motives are. I'm leaning on a lamppost at the corner of the street in case a sudden little lady comes by. Oh, real boy, I hope that little lady comes by. She'll get away. She doesn't always get away.
One more time.
Dirty down the bed again. I hope the little lady will be the first time that I will move away from. But this one I'll take any day. For I won't have to ask what she's late for.
Oh,
It wasn't even Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Since the audience has obviously overcome with that rendering, that means another round to Tim and Willie.
Oh, God.
We're now going to do the game Ad Lib Poem, in which the teams are going to make up a poem with some small assistance from myself. Each team member must keep going after I give them the opening line until I press the buzzer, like that. And then a member of the opposing team must take over. This goes on until the natural artistic conclusion is reached. Or unless my buzzer short circuits. The first line of the poem, and I'm going to give it to Tim Brooke Taylor to start, is this. It was early in the morning when a gang of racecourse nobblers...
They were all, in fact, shoemakers. You might even call them cobblers. They went round to Epsom to find the horses there.
Then found that it was shut, so decided to go elsewhere. They finished up at Kempton on a very rainy day
with a bucket full of hypodermics covered with light hay.
Needle in a haystack.
For the one they sought to nobble was the favourite in the Derby.
Oh,
good.
It was so funny, it could have been written by John Esmond and Bob Larby. They took...
Television writers. Writers of The Good Life get some in another very successful series, sorry.
Thank you very much. They took their nefarious bucket around to the back of the racetrack, but lost their hypodermic like a needle in a haystack. Oh, subtle stuff, what? On the lookout for the favourite, they hurried round the stables.
But they tripped over on their faces across the TV cables. For the next day, the race was to begin. It was a famous race. And round the corner, they did scurry.
What? What? I'm finished yet. Two minutes
on. I'm a case yet.
Oh. Go ahead, Tim.
Carrying their case.
For in this case,
as you must know... You always tell he's panicking when he gets louder. In this case, as you must know...
If anyone sees the poem, well, they hand it in.
Sorry, Tim, I didn't hear it. Barry, don't interrupt.
I'm sorry. Please. But before they got to the racehorse, they decided to have a binge.
But when they got in the stable, 'twas enough to make a man cringe. No,
we've had binge and cringe and syringe already.
Don't interrupt him. Don't interrupt, please. Where are the runners, they all cried. Where can all the runners be? And someone came up and said, they're at Shoreham on the sea. They jumped into their limousine and rushed down to the coast.
There enjoyed a charming tea of crumpet and buttered toast. But they went back to the station to return to Epsom Downs.
And they were now all worried men, their faces creased with frowns. For the race would start at 2:30. And 10 past it was right now. Their problem was to get there.
And all they had was a cow. Another form of transport they tried to find just then. And they were very lucky, because along came a hen. Cluck, cluck it went, and cluck again, because that's what chickens do.
And cluck, 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 and cluck, cluck, cluck. You must agree, it's true. But then they finally realised their plan was yet still born. They couldn't travel anywhere, because their big end's gone.
Well, the winner of that one, artistically and in every other way, was Barry Cryer, which gives them at least one round.
At least.
Yes. And we go on to the next round, which is Sounds Peculiar, in which we give each member of each team a sound effect, and he has to identify it. And I will award him marks as to how accurate his identification is. And we start with you, Tim. Here's your sound effect.
A mass christening of the London Symphony Orchestra.
Tell 10 out of 10.
I'd like to apologise to Mr. Cohen, the third violinist.
Okay, Barry Cryer, here's your sound effect.
The Morse of the Year show.
Puts me on the spot because that was rather better than Tim's. 12 out of 10.
Oh!
Willie Rushton, here's your sound effect.
That's R2-D2 Vindaloo.
To check on that, can we have the sound effect once again, please?
Last cries of Darth Vader.
Oh, can we have the bill, please?
It can't have been anything else. It's got to have been.
No wonder there are no other customers left.
Right, here's your sound effect, Graham Guy.
Your party, though.
That must have been Captain Mark Phillips getting the milk.
And we won't bother to hear that one again.
No. Can we hear R2-D2 again?
Teams, we've come up to the last round now when I invite you to give your late arrivals for the drunkard's ball. I'll tell you before you start that the score is absolutely level. And therefore, there's all to play for.
Will you welcome, please?
Well, yeah.
To the drunkard's ball.
Half
a pint of Billa.
Oh, dear.
And his son, Shandy.
Will you please? Sorry, I'm just going to be sick up.
You just reminded me of something. There's the famous guitarist Segovia Carpet.
Yeah, hot from the newsroom, the Legless family, with their son, Y. Dryden Legless.
Mr. and Mrs. Tathernewt. And their son, Piers.
And his parrot, Littick.
Mr. and Mrs. Steurabitters and their son, Anger.
Oh, there's Titus Andronicus.
There it is.
Here come the Rheum Tree Men's, their daughter Delilah. The hair of the Samson will put her right.
Mr. and Mrs. Another One Pleash and their son, Oliver Another One Pleash. Mr. and Mrs. Pink Elephants flying around the room, or am I drunk? And their son, Arthur Pink Elephant, flying around the room.
All the way from South America.
Ah, welcome.
Mr. and Mrs. Overday 8, and their son, Juan Overday. Oh, look, there's Duncan Disorderly.
With Wild Bill Hiccup. Oh, there's Annie Briate.
Oh, she's with Alcoholic, too.
And their daughter, Brenda Lizer.
You're welcome, sir.
I'm sorry. No, after you, please. No, swing door jammed.
Yeah. Welcome some little people, please. The Teeny Biancos and their mother, Martini Bianco.
Mr. and Mrs. Sott, their daughter, who's still waiting outside in a cab, known to us all as In Taxi Kate.
Please, please. Welcome some rather spoiled sportish people. Mr. and Mrs., you're not going to have another one, and their daughter, Shirley, you're not.
Oh, my favourite girl, Hetty Percent Proof.
And, of course, a distinguished visitor from the court of King Arthur, Sir Osis of the Liver.
At which point, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you, well, you won't need to know, those of you who've been keeping the score at home, that you've won.
There's Mr. and Mrs. Fort and their auntie, fine old Ruby.
and that owl. Thorny.
Mentioned Mr. and Mrs. Policella and their daughter Val Policella.
Exchanging a joke with Crystal Cream.
No. Well, as you realise, one or two more marks have been scored during that exchange, but they don't really make any difference to the score, so I'll say from all of us this week, goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and William Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Geoffrey Perkins.